there. Welcome to the NAA Apartment Cast, the official podcast of the National Apartment Association, the voice of the rental housing industry. I'm your host, Frank Mock, broadcasting from NAA's headquarters just outside our nation's capital, where we'll be providing you with ongoing insight from rental housing industry leaders on all things apartments, from leadership to operational strategy to federal advocacy and more. I'm joined once again today by the trio of NAA's Federal Legislative Affairs Directors, Maria Spencer, Jason Lynn, and Jody Anderson, who are here to provide an update on the apartment industry's federal legislative priorities. But that's enough from me. Let's just jump right in. Maria, Jason, Jody, welcome back to the NAA Apartment Cast. We have a lot to cover today, so let's just jump right in. Maria, I'd like to start with you. There's this ongoing discussion of the Choice in Affordable Housing Act, which is aimed at revitalizing the Section 8 program. Now, the rental housing industry strongly supports the Section 8 HCV program as the nation's most important rental subsidy program and a central part of the solution to our shared housing affordability crisis. That said, improvements are needed to ease burdensome regulatory requirements and attract more housing provider participants. Can you walk us through the bill and how it would help encourage housing providers to return to the Section 8 program?
Yes, thanks so much for having us, Frank. And I think this is really a great time for us to be coming on and talking about these very important priority bills that we have. I think you've done a good job kind of describing the overarching key components of the Choice in Affordable Housing Act. I think that one of the most important things that we're going to want to do between now and the end of the year is not just kind of have a better understanding of what this bill, what's in this bill, but also having our members be able to talk about how this bill impacts their ability to run their businesses. And so telling your story on all three of these bills or why this is important or why this impacts you is going to be really important as we look forward and, you know, keeping with our theme at Advocate this year to kind of close the deal and get all these three bills done and over the finish line before the end of the Congress, before we have to reset. But specifically on the Choice in Affordable Housing Act, I think it does a couple of things that our members need to be aware of. First, I think it addresses some of the regulatory challenges that they have with inspections. We know that it takes a long time for inspections to go through in some cases. And so the first thing I would say is this bill helps to streamline that process. If you have a unit that's already been inspected in the last year and it's federally backed and you're participating in the Section 8 program, you are able to get that process expedited. It also provides help with the security deposit. We know that when our members are working with individuals that have a voucher, there is sometimes a gap between what they have in the voucher and the rest that they have to come up with. A lot of that is in the security deposit. So some of that $100 million over the 5 years goes towards bridging that gap between the security deposit and what they would have in their voucher. Finally, I think specifically to our members, we know that many of them have left the program. There is going to be a bonus payment for incentivizing them to come back into the program. If you've never been in the program before, there are a small incentive for you to come back and participate in the program. I think that'll be helpful, especially coupling that with the security deposit challenges and the ability to streamline inspections. We know from our survey that that's one of the biggest impediments. And then I think finally, there's that landlord liaison. We know we have members at all sizes and all price points, but having those landlord liaisons that can help our members and the resident navigate that process that is extremely wrought with red tape helps them navigate that process. That takes a lot of pressure off of our members to have to have that burden and also gives, you know, some assurities throughout the process. So those are the three big things: helping with the deposits, giving the landlord liaisons, and then streamlining that process. So those are probably the three biggest things. And so sharing your stories about either challenges you've had with that, those processes, or successes with that is why, you know, we need to, those are the kinds of things that lawmakers want to hear about why this bill is important. They have staff that can look at what the specifics are, but sharing those stories is really important.
Thank you, Ryan. And I think that's such an important point about telling your story. I mean, we hear all the time about storytelling and how impactful that is. And certainly we're talking about a week out from NAA's Advocate, and we'll have Lobby Day, and we'll bring in, 1,000 folks to go up and talk. But that there are conversations that should be happening throughout any congressional term, because these folks are coming, they're leaving Washington, coming back to their home district. And as you indicated, they really need to hear from their constituents. It's why they're there. It's why they do the job. And certainly that a majority of them are not experts in housing operations. They don't necessarily know the day-to-day what these circumstances and situations entail. So it's up to the folks who are doing it to carry those messages. Before I move on to the next bill, any messages that you think that advocates should send to their policymakers or bring to their policymakers concerning this legislation to make sure that Congress sort of understands what's at stake?
I think you make a really good point, Frank, that our members really are the experts. They have the expertise in their fields, and they know these programs intimately and directly far better than any of us do. And so they should feel comfortable and confident in knowing that they are the experts. They are dealing with these issues on a day-to-day and in a very real way, not in a policy way. And so making them feel comfortable with that. And then I think, again, that plus telling your story, plus giving the ask, which is so important, which is, I'm an expert in this area. This is how this program impacts or would positively impact my experiences and my residents' experiences. What I need for you to do, Congressman or woman or senator, is to pass this bill. It's got all of the things that you would need, and it's got all of the kind of political trappings and endorsements in a bipartisan way that you need to move this over the finish line. So we really need you to do this now. And that's really the ingredients of making sure that our voices are heard and that they are doing the things they need to do, not just in DC, but also when they go back home, and reiterating that message between now and the end of the year.
I love that answer. And I certainly hope that everybody's paying very careful attention, because you did reference the residents, which I think is always an important component of any conversation you're having with Congress, because they are constituents as well. And, you know, ultimately, I know our members that at the end of the day, they're really focused on resident retention, resident satisfaction.
Absolutely.
And so these programs not just serve to improve the affordability of housing, but also the experience of that housing. So hopefully we will see some progress being made as we head to the Hill.
Have fun.
Jason, I want to turn next to a longer term view legislation as far as housing affordability is concerned. The Yes in My Backyard or YIMBY Act. The U.S. needs to build 4.3 million new apartment homes by 2035 to meet demand for rental housing and address affordability challenges. Now, I offer that housing affordability is a highly complex issue that is best remedied by solutions that increase the supply and availability of rental housing at all price points. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the bill is seeking to achieve?
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Frank. And you hit the nail right on the head. If we're going to improve housing affordability, we have to address the supply issue. Underproduction in the United States is a significant problem. Some estimates show 7.3 million homes are needed between 2000 and 2015. It's been a huge problem for quite a long time, and that's going to continue into the future. Essentially, what the YIMBY bill does is it encourages localities to eliminate discriminatory land use policies and to remove barriers that prevent needed housing from being built. The IMB Act would achieve these goals by requiring community development block grant recipients to report periodically on the extent to which they are removing discriminatory land use policies and implementing inclusive and affordable housing policies that are detailed in the bill. It increases transparency in land use, zoning, and housing decisions, and it would shed light on exclusionary policies and ultimately encourage localities to eliminate barriers to much-needed housing. The bill really increases transparency, Frank, and encourages more thoughtful and inclusive development practices by requiring localities to fully examine and disclose their housing policy decisions. It provides a framework for smart policymaking and regulatory practices, which we believe would help promote more inclusive development principles. Now, the IMB Act isn't going to solve the housing affordability problem overnight, certainly, but it's an important first step to decrease the barriers that are in place to smart, inclusive growth and reduce the negative and cumulative impact that exclusionary housing policies are having around the country. It's also a way for the federal government to clearly demonstrate that they take seriously the challenges created by exclusionary zoning.
Yeah, it reminds me of a quote about, you know, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, and the second best time is today. We know that housing affordability, like I said, is very complicated, is a very complex issue. And certainly, I think it's human nature to want to search for silver bullet solutions. But for something like this, it's going to take a lot of different things to have a lasting impact. And certainly, as you referenced, zoning and land use is a very important part of getting new housing built. And I'm wondering, what messages should advocates be telling their policymakers concerning this legislation to ensure that Congress understands what is actually at stake?
Well, I think the most important message that can be delivered to members of Congress is to ask them to co-sponsor this bill. This piece of legislation has been around for the last couple of Congresses, and it has passed the House of Representatives once with incredible bipartisan support, overwhelming support. So Congress has, the House anyway, has made the statement that this is an important bill, and we're trying to get it out of committee. The number of co-sponsors will help us do that. The more co-sponsors we can get and show more support for the bill, the more the committee chairman will be willing and able to move the piece of legislation out of the committee and down to the House and Senate floors. I think that the most important message in communicating to their members of Congress to why they should co-sponsor this bill is that it would send a signal that that member of Congress recognizes the importance of housing supply and the affordability issue. They understand that housing supply is a big issue. It's one that is right at the forefront of what we need to do to improve housing affordability in this country. And it gives them the opportunity to say, yes, while the federal government shouldn't be involved in local land use decisions, it does send the important signal that the federal government believes that local and regional planning organizations should take land use and exclusionary zoning policies seriously and try to reform them to ensure that more housing could be built.
All great messages, and I think it's interesting. You know, we've watched as YIMBY, the term, has sort of entered the lexicon. Folks are now don't need to look up what the acronym means. And now it's time to make sure that it is actual functional public policy. I thank you for that feedback. Jody, I'd like to talk next about the Respect State Housing Laws Act. The CARES Act required covered housing providers to provide notice to residents 30 days before filing for eviction due to non-payment of rent following the termination of the CARES Act eviction moratorium, which ended almost 4 years ago. Now, because of a drafting error, this temporary federal notice to vacate requirement remains a contested issue in court still today. Can you walk us through what this bill seeks to achieve?
Sure. Thanks, Frank. And thanks for having me on today. The Respect State Housing Laws Act would eliminate that CARES Act 30-day notice to vacate requirement that you were talking about and return the eviction policies back to the states. This is a critical issue to the industry because the eviction process is the only legal remedy for housing providers to remove a resident who has breached the lease, in this case, by non-payment of rent and lawfully regain possession of their property. And when the federal government adds an additional notice requirement that adds on to the notice period already covered in the state landlord-tenant law, it draws out an already lengthy process and adds a financial burden on housing providers who ultimately use rental payments to meet their financial obligations.
It is interesting. I still feel very strongly what is essentially a clerical error is creating so much complication in the marketplace. What messages do advocates need to carry to Capitol Hill and to their policymakers in their home districts to ensure a wider understanding of this legislation and why the bill is so critical to the future of apartment operations?
Sure. First, like Jason said, for the YIMBY Act, it's very important to ask your representatives to co-sponsor and support this bill. Additionally, letting the member of Congress know how this notice requirement ignores the state's existing renter protections and interferes with their long-established eviction processes is really important. With the state's average notice period being 6 days, that average is across the U.S., the federal requirement ultimately leads to extended periods of lost rent and adds greater uncertainty for housing providers who really depend on rental income to meet their financial obligations and ultimately maintain the quality, affordable housing in their communities. And 93 cents of every rent dollar covers necessary operational expenses such as maintenance and insurance and staffing. Even a small increase in cost can really append an apartment community's financial health. So when expenses increasingly exceed their income, the economic impacts really touch housing providers and residents alike. So driving that point home, that loss of rental income really makes it difficult for housing providers to effectively manage their properties and provide quality, affordable housing is a very strong message on why this bill is so critical for apartment operations.
Couldn't agree more, and I certainly appreciate the reference back to the dollar of rent data available on NAAHQ.org. I think that's a really powerful resource for illustrating exactly what you're talking about, the impact on the operations being driven by certainly increasing expenses in the near term. Maria, Jason, Jody, I thank you so much for your time today. Before we sign off, I did have an additional question. I wanted to ask each of you for a piece of advice. Now, I think a lot of our listeners view lobbying through the Hollywood lens. That is, you know, their opinions are formed by popular culture, which, while certainly entertaining, it hardly paints an accurate picture, I think. For NAA members who are meeting with their federal representatives, whether during lobby day or through in-district meetings, what can you tell them about their interactions to ensure that they are successful in engaging these legislators and their staffs? Maria, let's start with you.
That's a great question, Frank. I think to make them successful is, like I said, remember that they are the experts. Tell their story. Talk about the impacts of these issues on them. And that's really, you know, their role. And our role as the lobbyists is to kind of represent them in the more technical things and make sure that things keep moving along. So just be yourself, have fun, and be persistent. And, you know, don't just make this a one-time thing. Come to DC, but also when you get back home between now and the end of the year, you know, hold them accountable to get it done.
Excellent. Jason, how about you? Any advice for our members who are advocating on their own behalf?
Oh, sure, Frank. I think Maria made some great points. I would add to that to remember at the outset that members of Congress work for you. If you're a constituent, they're there to represent you, and your role as a constituent is to communicate with them about the issues that matter. And that's what you're doing. And so I think the first thing would be to be prepared as best you can to understand the issues you're going to talk about. And as Maria said, you are the expert on them. You know more than the people you're meeting with about what's going on in the industry. But to be prepared about the issues you're going to want to talk about, I think it's also important to be honest. Sometimes you'll get questions that you may not have the answer to, and it's perfectly fine. If you don't know the answer, just let them know you're not sure and that you'll get back to them, or that the NAA staff will be sure to get back to them in a follow-up. And so I think those would be a couple pieces of advice that I would share.
Thank you. And Jody, any advice for our listeners and our advocates?
Sure. Maria and Jason, you guys both really hit the nail on the head. You know, our members are really the experts in these issues. So, you know, coming to Lobby Day and meeting with your representatives is a great step in really moving these pieces of legislation forward. They want to know how these bills are affecting, or these issues are affecting their constituents, and how these bills can really move the needle. So, you know, just attending is such a great thing. If this is your first time, I recommend attending the NAA issues briefing that we'll be having on Tuesday. So be sure to come to that so you are up to speed on all of the policy issues. And there, we will also be having a mock meeting, a time for that. So if you've never been and you want to practice, be sure to attend that. I know a number of us will be there so we can help interact with you and prepare you in that way.
Thank you. I had one more
little tidbit that's really important for us as the lobbyists, is to make sure that you're giving us that feedback once your meetings are done, so that Jason, Jody, and I can go back to those offices and make sure that we are, you know, getting these folks to sign on to these bills, and that we can kind of move the agenda forward. So making sure that you're filling out your feedback forms and giving us good information about the things and the issues that came up in your meetings. And I know that Seth has done some training and has some materials on that. So make sure that you give the feedback forms. Those are really, really important for us to make sure that we're reinforcing the messages that you give on the Hill.
I'm certain our grassroots colleagues will appreciate that message. Most definitely provide feedback that is critical, and certainly in the same vein, follow up. You know, these folks, this is their job, is to listen, is to understand. And if you only rely on a singular conversation, knowing that there may be folks out there who feel exactly opposite the way that the industry does. And so that follow-up is always key and critical, but I am no expert. I'm certainly not a lobbyist, so don't take advice from me. Thank you, the three of you. Thank you again for your time today. I will look forward to welcoming you back, certainly, hopefully, with some good news about the future of these particular pieces of legislation. We will see you in DC and certainly around the office.
Thanks again to Maria, Jason, and Jody for sharing time with us on the NAA Apartment Cast. You can catch them at NAA's Advocate, our annual advocacy conference, and Lobby Day, which is the prime opportunity to meet with your policymakers in Washington, D.C. on March 12th through the 13th. For those of you out there who are interested in learning more about housing policy, the National Apartment Association has a wealth of resources, including a policy issues library, state-by-state legislative tracker, the Apartment Advocate and Apartment Advocate Pro newsletters, and much more, all on naahq.org. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you on the next episode of the NAA Apartment Cast, available on all your favorite podcast platforms.